Thank you. So good morning. Welcome to the first, probably the last face-to-face meeting of the Forum Study Group. I'm Katarina Sataki. I'm chairing this this group. So we had several calls when we discussed the issue of the quorum. Should it remain as it is at the moment, when in certain situations we need the quorum of our members to vote in order to have eligible voting. Although we discussed the issue, we have prepared the first draft report. We all have read them, received several comments from the members how to update the report. So probably we'll start with the first comment from Sabine. Could you please, for the transcript?
Actually, I have only one comment, and that was an additional argument, which I put in, and that is also important because we have announced we have added the different documents which are pro quorum. That is actually to bring in here that there's also a certain amount of commitment to fulfill, and I think it's also important to note that it's also important for the organization to be seen as their decisions are taken into account, because it devalues the organization if you take a lot of decisions which actually aren't followed by the members. So it's also important for the organization to have the commitment of the commitment of the different members, and actually it becomes part of the contractual relationships between ICANN and the different CCTLDs. I think it's important that we actually keep the level of changing the contractual relationships very high.
So Hong, you also had some.
Okay, my comment is actually about the recommendation is going to be submitted by the study group. The purpose of our study is primarily to resolve the problem of non-voting, which disable the quorum required by the voting process. I agree with recommendation 1 and 3, and I actually suggest we should lower the quorum and put it as an important suggestion. What I'm interested in is that how to interpret the non-voting. If a member is not voting, primarily there's no response. And here it seems we ask them to indicate why they're not voting. Is a new process or is a new layer added to the voting process? What if it's a member that it simply wishes to hide behind with quietness, and now we ask them to indicate it does not care, I'm not comfortable, and this is irrelevant to me. That's very interesting. And then I also want to know, is this a once for all, I make a general indication, or is it every time, case by case?
First of all, I address the idea of our group is not to solve this the issue of people not voting. We can't solve it. So there was a capacity building working group which came up with several recommendations regarding how to increase participation. So we can't solve this issue, and we're not looking into the issue why people are not voting, how to make them vote. We're looking particularly into this quorum rule. And regarding your question about is it a one for all or every, the idea was that every member, just as a tradition in their culture, they can state if the fact that they're not voting does it mean that they do not agree with the policy, or it means that they abstain, or they, yeah, basically not do not will join the majority or whatever the decision is made. So it's definitely a per member statement. It won't be stated for all. The proposal was to give an opportunity if in our online tool, for example, a member can indicate the fact of him not voting. Should it be interpreted as abstention? So it means that we can count him into the total number of votes casted. So just in order to ensure that there's a quorum. Or the fact that they do not vote, and it means that they vote against, or they're not voting means that they don't count them at all when counting the total number of the votes. So Sabine, you also had a comment.
I think it's important that we actually recognize the nature of the organization we're in. So the CCN is and the quorum is only applicable to actually a decision which changes actually the contractual relationship between ICANN and each CCTLD. And I think that's very important that we actually are very clear on that. So it, even if somebody don't care, it changes his contractual relationship with ICANN. And that is something and his obligation towards what he has to do with regard to the contractual relationship with ICANN. So, or at least what it has to tell us. So, it is important that everybody actually is very clear about that. And I wouldn't really warn that no care means that I don't care if my duties according to my which I have towards ICANN are changing. And I think that the quorum should actually perceive that people know exactly that there is a change, A, and B, that they have to apply to the change if the vote if the vote is passed. I have no problem at all if they actually tick a box and say, I don't care. But I have a problem to say if somebody even doesn't react, that actually is counted as I don't care, because that is for all the other a very huge burden.
Just a short comment. By entering CCNSO, you kind of say that you agree that you will be obliging the policy issues. So your voting or not voting shouldn't change this fact. If you don't want to be bind by the rules or their policies set by CCN, so you can leave the organization any time.
But from our perspective, that was actually the only part for us to accept that we go in. And of course, when the quorum will change, I will recommend to my organization to really think hard about in going out, because I think it's really for us a core. Problem that if you have an organization where only a few decide what happens and the others don't care, that it's not an organization actually I can actually devote my organization to in doing policy.
Oh, yeah, I have a question first to Gabi. That is, when we set out a voting process, there's two options, yes and no. Is there a third one, is abstain? Yes. Oh, yeah.
This is Gabby. So just to clarify why we're to this office, because after the IDN PDP vote, I spoke to some people about this thing that people had not voted, and now, for instance, Carolina Aguera said, oh, but, you know, in our culture, not voting means that you're abstaining. So she actually thought that, or in that culture, they thought that they were actively doing something by not doing something.
Right. That's exactly my understanding. If there's no voting, could be generally interpreted as abstaining, we resolve the problem of quorum. Right.
It's not for all. That's the thing. I would see here three possible scenarios. I do not vote. It means that I am against. I do not vote. It means that I am abstaining. Or I do not vote. Don't count my vote. I haven't expressed my opinion.
I think this raises a really... Oh, Keith Davidson, for the record. And I think this raises a really interesting point. Going back to Sabine's first observation that this is about changing the contractual obligations between ICANN and the CCTLD, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, when we voted on the IDN PDP, for those countries who want to remain firmly attached to ASCII only, it's not going to interrupt their contractual obligations to ICANN whatsoever. So you could argue that the value of their not voting is less than someone who is affected by the PDP outcomes having a vote. So this idea that you will be drawn to vote because it's going to affect your relationship may not always apply, and it may cause some weakness in the election process. So I think that's an important first part. I think second part too is that there is a desperate need for clarity. As you say, different cultures respond to a non-vote in different ways. So I think you need to have that clarified right from the outset. Because it strikes me that more and more of the CCTLDs who are entering the CCNSO are doing so because they want to formalise a relationship with ICANN, which in no way indicates that they want to participate in the CCNSO at all. It's just their only way of formalising with ICANN is to join the CCNSO. So, yeah, I think that's maybe the final answer, and that is to have two categories of members: members who participate and want to be counted as part of a quorum, and members who are just non-participative and don't want to be counted as part of a quorum.
I think there's another option. We can actually open up the debate about binding policies again. So if we actually gave up the mandate for, and I disagree with you on that, that the IDN PDP doesn't change the obligation, the relationship with the SKTLD. It does that in de facto, because if you look on the IDN PDP, on the outcome of the IDN PDP, there was a clear ruling about the domains on the second level, which is definitely not part of a responsibility for ICANN for SKTLD. And I think it's important to be very clear on that. And I understand that for those IDN CCTLDs who have the necessity and the need to come up with an IDN CCTLD, and that was the only bit in town, they actually want to agree on that. I think it changes the nature dramatically, because it actually is the first time that for a CCTLD ICANN demands policy oversight on the second level, and that in so far I don't share your views that it doesn't change anything.
Thank you, Barak. I think there are three scenarios we are looking at. In my view, there is a situation where somebody may choose to abstain. There may be a no-show where someone deliberately doesn't come up, and then there's someone who says yes. Now, in my culture, if you give an apology for a meeting, you bind yourself to the proceedings of that meeting by effect. So it's like a yes, unless somebody has said no clearly. So probably we may want to look at that. We borrow heavily from the British culture in Kenya. And if I say I won't make it for the meeting, it's treated as absent with apology. And I'm considered to be bound by whatever deliberations will be taken by the majority in that meeting. So automatically my vote is for those who went by yes, unless I clearly say no, or I clearly say I have abstained.
of our discussion so far has become very, very interesting. I think the key issue we have to resolve is how to interpret non-voting, because that's always been the problem for quorum. Well, I'm looking at the three possible interpretations and feel this is very interesting. For the abstain one, I suggest that could be used as a general interpretation that I do hear from Barrett. It could be mean yes if you not vote. It could mean no, I against it. I strongly suggest web theorists second thought to make such positive presumption. If you're not voting and you presume to be agreeing or presume to be against it, that's very serious consequence. Right. I also suggest you find the voting, so that means don't count me as a quorum.
Thank you. I think going by the bylaws, there is the basic minimum that is supposed to be met before a meeting can start. Say, for example, if we are five here and three of us are there, and say 40% is quorum, then we say we have quorum. Then the next thing is when we want to take a vote out of the people who are there, how many are abstaining, if there is something like that. Those who will abstain, it is for documentation purposes. But in terms of making a decision, it is those who are for it and those who are against the decision that is being made. And then if the no's are more, then the no's have it. If the people who are for it are more, then they have it. The issue of apology is a question of trying to bring clarity, making members understand that if you give an apology, then you are bound by the decision, unless otherwise.
Yeah, but I think I think the current interpretation, as it's written down the bylaws, is very clear. So it means the quorum in that sense means that 50% has to participate. And it's regardless if they say yes, no, if they say abstention. The problem is we have more than 50% who don't say anything. So the discussion we are currently doing is about limiting the attendance rate. And I don't think that we should limit the attendance rate, because currently the rule is the attendance on this voting has to be 50%. And that is what we are struggling to achieve. And we're not struggling to achieve then a yes or no within those who actually are voting. But our current problem is really that the people just don't enter the room. They don't say, apologize, I don't enter. They don't say, I abstain. But they don't enter the room. And the question is, what do we do with decisions taken with more than 50% of the people being outside of the room? And I would really, really want to change that. I have no problem at all if we say we just close the possibility you actually have done something. And Gavi is phoning up the people step by step, explaining them what's all about, telling them, please go ahead, we need a quorum. I have no problem at all with that. But what I think is we are an industry organization, and as an industry organization, and we are some huge... If these industry organizations decide something and we are contractually bound to implement it, I know that I want to have a sort of safeguard that if only there are three people in the room and decide something, I have to implement it just because I didn't get it.
I was actually going to make the same point about the bylaws that Sabine just made, but yeah, that's the real danger too, is decisions made by very few people just because they happen to be in the room. But perhaps there is a need for new members or on an annual basis, members to say that they actually want to be aloof from the decision making, that they don't care. So that they're not counted as part of the quorum anyway. They're just sitting at the edge as non-voting members or something like that, so that those who do want to participate can, and that you're not making it impossible to achieve the super majority that you need in order to get something passed.
Barack Otieno again. Can we adopt an approach of simple majority? I don't know whether that would work in our case.
Unfortunately, that's not an option in our case.
I think the proposal from Keith was quite good. But I think we should actually maybe we should think in the line of two types of memberships, where you have really the one being bound to the decisions and implementing the policies that are developed, and obviously then are also participating in the voting. But I think we have to be very clear, because my fear is, and when I see all the policies developed in the GTLD arena, I think it's very hard to follow all those developments. And I see also that a lot of the developments are arching over to the CCNSO ports, and especially with the IDR and PDP, where I really see that safeguards which we have implemented, where the General Council of ICANN actually has to make a view that the PDP has to be into the boundaries of the bylaws, and which actually all failed.
I think it's important to remember the initial establishment of the CCNSO and the concept of subsidiarity that applied back then, that binding policy from ICANN top down could not happen, that the supermajority of CCTLDs had to be in agreement in order to have binding policy thrust on us, and the right to opt out and resign membership if you were served policies that you couldn't live with. So I think, again, those are important tenets, but as time goes on, and you know, we've already seen in the last year the number of new members coming in, and as ICANN increases its regional operations, expect a lot more CCTLDs to come to the party as well. I'm fairly comfortable that most of those CCTLDs will not be in the slightest bit interested in the work of the CCNSO. Their reason for engagement is otherwise. So I think looking ahead, this group needs, I think you've identified the issues perfectly, but you need to work on the principle of having some way of CCTLD saying, we don't care. We just don't care. We don't want to be counted as part of anything because we don't care enough about it, or we don't know enough about it, or we don't want to know enough about it.
I'm still fascinated by the issue of non-voting. I'd suggest we think about the two possibilities. One, to have a general interpretation of non-voting, but in that case, probably we need approval by the council to change the bylaw and put a footnote into the bylaw. And another possibility is to do, as been suggested in the document, up to the individual indication by the members. But I'm concerned about the second option. Would that create the result of gaming if the voting has been completed? And through this indication, I can actually change the result and can actually invalidate the vote result. I don't believe this very clear.
It definitely would not change the number of votes cast for and against the decision. It just would make the vote, was there a vote, or we had to go to another round? So
what means that the thing about the scenario, if the non-voting could suddenly be interpreted as against, as no, and then we create 100 no, that's the end of PDP, right?
But the non-vote is essentially an abstention, so you've got two. You can either vote to abstain or not vote, and you'll be recorded as an abstention essentially now. So that's the worst of all options. If you scrubbed the opportunity to vote for abstention and then everyone was who didn't vote was seen to be abstaining, then that would help people, push people into voting and so on. But it still won't get us around the issues that we're currently facing. And I think it's unfair on the secretariat and staff to have to chase members to make important decisions that that dictate the contractual obligations that we have with ICANN.
I disagree with that because it's ICANN is a contracting party to us, and if they want us to change something, then they have to discuss it with us in particular with each individual. It's a usual thing between contracting parties that if somebody wants from me something, he has to discuss it with me. He has to argue about it and come up with something. That's not so far away from usual business behavior.
Well, I don't think it's quite so because, for example, in case of PDP, there are discussions for 5-6 years going on. Of course, people are losing track of the discussions. That's another issue. But asking from secretariat to chase, please read the document and do vote. Oh, you don't care. No, please vote. Oh, you don't. Please do vote.
I think it's an option to not to please vote. It's an option to. That's an important decision. It's about the quorum. That are the arguments within there. I can explain it to you if you haven't followed the discussion. Of course, that's a service. That is a real service, and it has a lot to do with taking the people, bringing the people back on track. Explaining what's all about, explaining what are different options that it actually relies on. Because, of course, it's a membership organization. Of course, we should treat the people not like if you don't vote, we assume that you say no, or if you don't vote, we assume you say yes. If you don't vote, we assume you say abstention, or we decide for you. But it's really taking them serious, informing them, let them take an informed decision.
Do you really think that our members are not informed enough?
From my perspective, I had a huge problem to get an informed decision about the idea in CDP. It was 70 pages. It was really difficult to read, and it took me quite some time to really get all the pieces. And I would say within the IDN area, I'm some of the more informed members of the CCN as well. So I think it's really a service to bring the people and explain what's all about and what it's actually meant, unless letting them sending them one email from Tally and hoping that they read these 70 pages report.
Just wanting to prolong the dispute with Sabine over the contracting parties. If ICANN was serving top-down policies to the CCNSO, I would agree with you fully, but where the PDP starts by discussions and working groups within the CCNSO, then it's the CCTLDs who are dictating what they want as policies and are then seeking the endorsement of the greater majority of CCTLDs. So that's not ICANN seeking a contractual change. That is the various peers amongst us and the members themselves who are dictating what they want and then seeking the consensus of the majority of the CCTLD. So I think that's quite different.
Still then, it's about convincing the people and in bringing them on board and doing.
Yeah, this is Yami. So I just wanted to follow up on not being informed because I think that from our end we really did what we could. Not only have we discussed this at every meeting and so on, but before the voting we arranged two webinars in different time zones. We announced it many times. Please join this webinar. For those of you who don't understand, join this webinar. We try to make it as easy as possible for you. And during the webinars we not only presented what was in the paper, we also presented how the voting will go, where the ballots will come from, etc. So we tried to make it as easy as possible. And I understand it's still very hard to understand, but saying that although we really, I think we did what we could to inform people, we still didn't get to a forum, so there was some problem.
Thank you. I think we've captured this point, developing a mechanism where CCNSO members can indicate how their non-vote should be interpreted. And I want to bring up the perspective of the African region. Most of our CCs, I would say, are understaffed. You'd find one individual doing multiple things. And a lot of times, either they are university... Sorry. Okay. A lot of times, either they are maybe based in a university, or they are technical people who sincerely may not have the pedigree to be able to understand some of the policy issues that are being addressed, which is one of the things we are trying to do in the region. So in that case, I would request something very clear on how the vote would be interpreted, so that someone makes the decision in advance. Because a lot of times you find that these guys have not read what is being put out there to them, and so they're not sure how to participate or what to do. So that's, I would just like to highlight that. But that said, I know people are informed, but sometimes they don't understand what they are being informed about.
No, I just had a silly question. Do we have by now an understanding of why people do not vote? Because from what I'm getting is that they are informed. There is efforts being done. What you're saying is that perhaps they don't understand what they are going to vote to. But in different instances, for example, it doesn't take too much to understand. I mean, it's a decision that... it should be not very much time-consuming and energy-consuming. So do we have by now an idea, and then we can tackle that question?
There was a working group on capacity building which looked into these issues. Gabby, would you give a short overview?
Well, we didn't understand why people don't... why they don't join. We were not able to find out. You were, though. Weren't you in that group? Yes, and you were on that group too. So what we, the group was trying to do was to make some recommendations on how we can try to involve people. But we did not treat voting issues in this group though. But no, we don't have an answer on why people don't vote.
As far as I remember, in the capacity building working group, we primarily studied how to stimulate people to join the working group to do the work. For voting, that's not...
That's actually
not the focus of our study.
Okay, so our time is running out. Well, thank you very much for the discussions. I think we have some points. Well, at least we will try to figure out your mood and update the report accordingly. Any last words any of you would like to add to advocate or just say against the forum? Yeah, Keith, please.
Just really a question. In the paper that I read, you talked about the council elections specifically being a lower quorum, and you know, to me that is something that should be probably decided by simple majority of those who vote. I mean, I think, you know, it's so trivial by comparison to PDP and so on. So I just wondered if the working group had talked about that specifically and whether that was likely to be the recommendation, or did you have some differing ideas about it?
We've talked about that, discussed it. Again, there were different views on the issue. At the moment, we have this as one of the proposals that should be discussed by the group to have a lower quorum for especially in the case of council elections, specifically because it's not quite clear from bylaws what to do in case of there's no quorum reached in council elections.
I have a very cynical question on that, which I refuse to send by email. But on the other hand side, if there is only one candidate per region, he's elected without voting, and obviously without quorum, which concerns me quite a lot from a democratic point of view, because as a matter of process, I don't think it's important to discuss about if there is a necessity of quorum if you have two candidates. As long as if you have only one candidate, you don't need a quorum at all. That was just my cynical remark on that. And
I think I would go by the suggestions or recommendations in the report. And one way we could do this, as you do it when you're sending out the minutes, just needs to be clear: this voted, this abstained, and these ones voted, this abstained, this one did not vote. It's also a way of encouraging.
But are you talking about votes within the council, or because I think that's what you mean, what you're talking about? We're not in this case. We're discussing about elections to the council if there are more than two candidates. We're not talking about the voting within the council.
Okay.
So thank you very much for your participation. We will update the report and send it again for your consideration. Thank you very much.